Hello and welcome to another Raw edition of the Razor Sharp Show. My name is Matt Romania. As always, I'm joined by Ray Milladoni, but we've also got a very special guest. So it's a very special edition of the Raw edition show. We've got Ash Hart, who is the CEO of Green Chili Design. Ray and Ash, how are we both?
Good, thanks. Pleasure to be on.
I'm great and always doing great.
Yeah, that's it. So, Ash, appreciate you joining this Raw edition. It's cool to have someone else on the call, as much as I enjoy Ray's company. it's something a little bit different, and you know, we really wanted to get you on to talk about your business as well as a few ways that you've been able to build kind of growth and a bit of business success with a method that we'll get to shortly. But I guess to kick things off, can you tell our listeners, the Razor community, you know, a little bit about you and a little bit about Green Chili Design?
Sure. So yeah, we're essentially a web design and development company. I started the company about 9 years ago, and I've got like a background in advertising and digital design from back in the UK. So I actually moved to New Zealand and I started the company here, and I've got a real mixture of sort of clients from the UK, New Zealand, Australia. So we're kind of like a global web development company, I guess. And we, over the years, we've just grown and become very busy, and it's great. It's a very sort of dynamic sort of place to work.
Yeah. And what made you take the leap into business?
Yeah, I think you get to a point where you have to make a decision. And I think a lot of people in the back of their minds think, oh, I'd like to have a company one day, and I'd like to do things myself. And for me, it was kind of there, but I kind of fell into it more organically. It was one of those situations where I was just so busy, and I was more of a freelancer, and I had lots of clients, and I had to make a decision. Do I start turning people away, or do I hire staff to help me out? And when I decided to obviously, you know, hire more people, it's then that sort of dawned on me that, you know, this is a company, this is going to be my role now. And yeah, so it was kind of like, you know, organic the way it happened.
Excellent. How many staff members do you actually hire?
So I've got 5 now.
Excellent. Good stuff. Yeah. And for the Razor community who's been joining Matt and I on this journey, what we're doing is going a bit, you know, down the path of outsourcing. And one of the reasons why we reached out to you is because we know that you've been outsourcing a lot of the tasks in your day-to-day operation. So share with the Razor community why you decided to outsource as opposed to hiring locally.
Sure. So, I mean, we've got some core developers working for us, and we've got a great team. But we wanted to expand that because we, you know, we became pretty busy, and we looked at hiring sort of local developers. And one of the issues we found is that either they're already established and they're wanting very sort of high salaries to leave their sort of established companies, or we would have, you know, we would get them from university and we would train them up, and eventually that they would leave and go and do their overseas experience, and we'd have to start over again. So I was speaking to actually Troy Dean from WP Elevation, and he said something to me. He said, you know, a lot of people, a lot of developers kind of want to start their own companies and they want to do their own thing. So have you thought about outsourcing? And to be fair, I hadn't really thought about it. And when he mentioned Charlie's company, Outsource Angel, I thought, okay, well, I could give that a go, because at least, you know, that is someone else is taking the headache out of it for me. I'm not having to, you know, source people online and sort of interview them myself at that stage. So yeah, it was kind of a suggestion that I hadn't really thought about, to be honest.
Yeah, love that. Love and that.
Yeah, in those early days, did you have any specific tasks in mind for you to outsource, or you were just exploring the idea as a whole and then kind of, I guess, retrofit it into your business?
I mean, development was one aspect of it, but the other thing that sort of became apparent is having a virtual assistant, having a VA or a PA, as it would be in reality. And you start thinking to yourself, okay, do I really, you know, should I really be copying and pasting, you know, this Excel data into another Excel file or things like that? And you realize that actually your time's really valuable. So anything like that, you have to give it to a VA. to do. And since, you know, the more you do that, I think that the more you look at tasks differently and think, you know, should I be doing this? Or can somebody else do that? And because of that, then I realized that, yeah, a VA was definitely something I wanted in my business, but also it's good to have, developers, project managers, any role you can think of, really. But I think it started from having a developer, and then from there, I looked at all the other sort of, you know, roles that they could give me.
How did you know what to actually outsource? Like, did you have to mind map all the tasks that you had in your business and kind of work out what could be delegated out? Like, how did that process go to knowing what to delegate and to who?
Sure. I mean, it's a difficult thing because I assume that a lot of business owners have this, that you're a bit of a control freak. You like to do everything yourself and you're a perfectionist.
Guilty.
Exactly. And I think I sat down one day and I did a mind map of everything that we did. And I think I chose a color. Let's say it was like blue. And I put a block everywhere that I was sort of doing something that was causing a block in our processes because I was too busy to actually do it. And then I thought to myself, okay, what I need to do is remove myself from all of these blocks. And that gave me my task list. That gave me the idea of, okay, these are the things that I can outsource.
Love it, Matt. Seems like we're going to have to add that to our to-do list.
Yeah, I know. Because, yeah, Ash, at the moment we're, exploring outsourcing for, you know, the podcast as a starting point and really getting into it, because we keep hearing the benefits. And so I guess that's a good segue into, have you seen some benefits already? Like, what kind of results are you getting, from using Outsourcing Angel?
Yeah, I mean, it takes the risk away, really. You can grow rapidly and it will take the risk away. So rather than thinking, do you know what, I want to hire a bunch of project managers, I want to hire a bunch of developers, and if you were to do that in the traditional method, you would have to go through a lengthy sort of recruitment process, and if it didn't quite work out with whoever you decided to hire, then you get to run into legal issues, and it's going to be tricky and complex and expensive. I wanted to do it in a way that was kind of low risk for me, because it's always, you know, it's always one of those things that you don't really sort of, you know, you can be hesitant to expand because of the risk and the expense, you know, associated with it. And I didn't want to do that. And so it gave me the ability to expand rapidly and test it. I guess it's like, you know, staffing in an agile sort of method. Mm. It was quite useful, yeah.
Mm. So from, I guess, that early stage, those first few steps of, okay, you know what tasks you want to be giving, you want to be outsourcing. How did you go about, like, putting that into words and, like, providing, you know, a brief for someone to consume? I guess my question is, how did you go about training, you know, this new person who's new into your business, maybe even new into, like, the industry? Like, how do you go about training them to make sure they become a good fit in your business?
Yeah, sure. No, that's a very important question. And I think, you know, you have to document everything. I started to do it probably about a couple of years ago, that any task that I was doing more than once, I would document it. Maybe it's just because I would be doing it again the next month and I wanted to remember how to do it. But it also gives you a really good option to hand it off to somebody else. So, yeah, I started documenting everything. And I don't know if you've heard of the website Process Street. That's a quite a good tool for systemizing, you know, your workflow. So that is one tool I use. And I also use another one called Clarify It, which is, I think, it's a Mac app. And it's really good that you install it on your Mac, you record yourself doing something, and then it spits out images and PDFs and HTML text. And you can create like a little, sort of tutorial on how, you know, to do something. So these are the sort of methods that I used. And then what I would do, I'd have like an onboarding process with them, talk them through what we did, and just gradually build up this this knowledge base of literally every aspect of the company, from how you speak to clients, to you know, how you respond to something that's urgent, to where, you know, how you access our dev servers and staging servers and what our protocols are. So I think, yeah, the first thing to do before you hire anyone, or maybe, you know, you could do it whilst you're going through those early stages, but certainly you have to systematize and you have to create tutorials and you have to onboard people, because if you don't do that, then, you know, that you don't have a process and it's going to get messy.
Yeah, love that. It's all about the processes, and you've given us a couple of shiny tools to go and test drive. We actually use Process Street, but clarify, it is a new one to my toolbox.
Yeah, sounds great.
I know, it sounds fantastic. Now, I want to go a little bit down the path of, a lot of people think that they can outsource and they kind of do it themselves. Why did you choose to, you know, use a company like Outsourcing Angel to get the tasks done and find the VAs and remote staff, as opposed to kind of doing it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, who wants to do it themselves? I think I'm already really busy. I'm a very busy person, and if there's a company that you know I trust to essentially find these people for me, vet them, and take care of the payroll system, take care of the HR aspect of it, and why wouldn't I do that? That's to me a massive, like, time saving, you know, headache relieving solution. I think that, yeah, if I was to do it myself, yeah, that would be a lot of effort, and you know, that's yeah, not something I really wanted to do. I think having a company do that for you is definitely the whole service is very helpful. And as I say, if you've got a problem with anyone, you can go to them. If you have to deal with payroll, you don't have to deal with you know, finding the people in the first place. And you do actually interview them. And I had my own very strict you know, interview process, and I made them go through hoops and code tests and challenges, and I did a Skype interview with them. But essentially, that first step of finding the people in the first place that are actually vetted, you know, they do all that for you. So yeah, no, it was a no-brainer for me.
Love it. So it still sounds like you're quite involved, and you know, you do get your hands dirty, especially in that vetting and finding process. So can you just explain to us in the Razor community, like, what that process was like for you? Was it a bit daunting? Was it really easy? How did you find yourself when that was kind of going on?
With Outsource Angel?
Yeah.
Yeah. To be honest, it wasn't that hard. Because I'd already interviewed a lot of developers locally myself. And so I had a process that I used. And I applied the same process to Outsource Angel when I took them on board. But to be honest, the candidates were really good quality to start with. So it didn't take me too long to find the right people. And it was a case of, well, I mean, the other thing is that you can hire people on a full-time basis or a part-time basis, or you can even sort of, what I did is I purchased like a number of sort of hours from them and said, hey, let's just see how it goes. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, we'll try something else, or I'll try somebody else. And because it was so easy to go that method, it was very low risk and very easy to say, okay, well, let's try this guy. He's got all the right credentials. You know, I've ticked off my list. He's passed my tests. Let's just get to work on a little project and see if it works. And it did. And I never looked back.
Love it. That's such a great tip for Razor community to test them out as well. Like, you don't need to give them the logins to your biggest project and give that risk to them. Give them something small. And Ash, like, do you have an example or can you remember, like, that kind of smaller development task? What did it look like exactly, and how technical was it?
Sure. So I'll just one more shiny tool. Test for weeks. I think I use that to sort of judge their back end dev and front end development skills. But yeah, once they had passed that, I think it was probably a landing page. So a landing page and some basic sort of WordPress integrations, and you can kind of tell you know, whether people are getting it straight away. And what I would do then is, after they completed the job, I'll show it to one of my other developers and say, hey, have they commented the code well? Is it up to spec? And also the communication was very important to me as well. So did they communicate how long it was going to take? If they found any issues, were they polite? you know, all these sort of things. So yeah, I think starting with a really simple sort of landing page or a HTML email, something simple. You don't want to get your biggest client there and say, okay, right, you know, delve into this site. It's a custom developed site, you know, and let them loose on it. That's asking for trouble. So yeah, do something that you can redo quickly if it's not right, you know.
Love it, love it. And the name of that tool again, because I did miss it a little bit.
Sorry, it's called Tests for Geeks.
Ah, yes, cool, excellent. Love it, love it. And so one of the other questions that comes up a lot for me and even others is turnover. You know, you spend all this time training people and getting them all up to speed, and then all of a sudden they decide to disappear or they go missing in action and you can't seem to find them anywhere. How does Outsourcing Angels, like, prevent that, and how have you found that? Have you had much turnover and have the staff always stuck around?
Yeah, no, that's never happened to me with Outsourcing Angel. The staff have pretty much been consistent the entire through the entire relationship so far, so I've not experienced that, so I can't comment.
Yeah, love it. That's good to hear, because there are a lot of horror stories out there, and, you know, projects half completed and, you know, the development team disappears, or you know, a lot of horror stories. So I think, you know, one of the things that Matt and I have learned in the last couple of weeks interviewing different people and kind of exploring this for ourselves is that, you know, some of these horror stories aren't as, you know, bad when you kind of partner with the right people or you put the right training process in place. You know, I love the fact that you're recording your training sessions and you're onboarding and then you're documenting it, because then it's there forever. And if someone was to kind of disappear, you could just find someone else and say, here's everything I've prepared earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, part of it as well is I treat them like I would treat any member of staff, and we're pretty much friends. We have a very good working relationship, and if one of them has a birthday, I'm like, you know, you could go out by yourself, you know, lunch, buy the family lunch, you know, send me some photos. So we have a very sort of close relationship, and it's, I think it's important to not treat them as, you know, a disposable resource that you don't really care about because you never see them. You know, to treat each other like sort of, you know, human beings and have a bit of a laugh while you're doing it. And yeah, I think that's part of the key as well.
Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
Solid advice there. You know, I think, you know, sometimes when going to some of these job network type of job board websites, it is just kind of a bit of a commodity. It's just, you know, task after task, and there isn't that empathy and that human touch that kind of comes behind it. So I think, you know, you make a very valid point to treat them like family and friends and you know, put that human being factor into it, which is probably the reason why the turnover is so low and that everyone kind of enjoys being at work and getting the tasks done professionally and with quality and attention to detail.
And I might, as we, you know, towards the end of this Raw edition, Ray, I might throw to you eventually for one last question to finish off the show. But Ash, I also wanted to ask you, like, a horror story I hear a lot of the time, and I've, you know, experienced this myself, is that some people seem to spend just a lot of time managing, like, their VA and their work. And so I wanted to get your kind of way about doing the day-to-day. Like, are there tools that you use to manage, like, the relationship every week? Like, what do you use to check in with them? Like, what are, I guess my question is, what other resources are involved in this relationship to make sure everyone's on the same page?
Sure. So I think I'm of the school that communication is absolutely key, and to an extent I'll probably over communicate, but I'd rather have everyone over communicating than sending an email to someone and checking back in like in a couple of days and hoping it went okay. And luckily now we have tools like Slack and Store Use Skype, project management apps. We used Trello and teamwork projects, help desk software, and we basically linked it all together with Zapier. So whatever happens, we all get an overview of everything coming into the company and everything that's been worked on. And so we know the status of every single member. We've got Harvest set up as well so that we know what's being timed, if things are on budget or not. So I think it's just a matter of having, you know, using all the technology you can to have this communication in real time, so everyone knows what's going on, who's working on what. And then you don't run into too many issues because, yeah, we're all on the same page, basically.
Now, you're throwing me in the deep end and I've wrecked my brain trying to think of a question. But I guess one of the things, like, I guess to finish up this interview, and if, you know, if someone was to walk up to you in the street and ask why they should use Outsourcing Angel, what would be your kind of elevator pitch of why they should use Outsourcing Angel?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, when I first thought about the idea, I was hesitant, but I have not looked back since, you know, working with those guys. They've been brilliant. I think, you know, the level of expertise that these people bring to the table is immense. And, you know, the fact that they, you know, that they find the best people. They're not just finding anyone off the street and saying, here you go, here's a project manager or a developer. That these are guys that they know and personally in many cases, and they can vouch for them. And literally everyone I've worked with has been fantastic, and I wouldn't hesitate to recommend them, really.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this raw edition of the Razor Sharp Show, a little bit of a special curveball one, while Matt and I go down the rabbit hole of trying to find our outsourcing angel to edit our podcast.
There's someone for that there. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've been chatting, and you're quite right. You know, we're getting a little bit of a first-hand experience as well, where, you know, they're asking friends and families of people in the office if anyone knows this tool and that tool. And, you know, we're getting down to the point where we, you know, are getting to that point where we can start, you know, shortlisting and interviewing. And it's quite exciting. That's why Matt and I thought this is a great opportunity to chat to existing customers to get, you know, first-hand experience, and so that we don't make mistakes that other people have. And we have this beautiful platform of capturing the audio and sharing it with the Razor community so they can benefit from it as well. It's kind of like open sourcing our outsourcing in a weird meta way. So love it, love it.
So meta.
Love it. Well, Ash, thanks a lot for coming on to the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Nick, no worries. And Razor community, until next time, stay sharp. Well, Matt, that was interesting, meeting an outsourcing angel client, you know, getting a first-hand experience of what they did. I think we got a lot of work cut out for ourselves.
Yeah, that was really appreciated, Ash, to come on the show, the Raw Edition, and give us his experience and insights with Outsourcing Angel. He gave us a lot of different tools and strategies to make, you know, the process even easier. And, you know, he said it was easy from the outset. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting started with Outsourcing Angel and you know, which will help us with our business and achieve some of the goals that we just haven't been able to get to yet.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, for us, outsourcing has always been on the agenda. I think from like episode 10, we were kind of like, how do we outsource this? And, you know, and I'm quite glad that we stuck at it, because I think it means that we really understand the moving parts. We've been able to kind of, you know, lightly document our process and get a really good understanding. So now we really know like some of the skills and tasks that we want to outsource. But I really love the fact that Ash mentioned about, you know, doing like a bit of a mind map. So yeah. I think you and I need to sit down and just write out like all the tasks that are completed and kind of just, you know, one document them, and even, you know, doing all the videos and screenshots and all that. You know, it's a good opportunity to kind of get our shit sorted.
Oh, for sure.
And then get our, you know, soon to be outsourcing editor, podcast editor, and hopefully promoter as well, because it's the promoting side of things that, you know, can take up a lot of time. It's not just about editing. But I love the fact that we've done all the tasks, so now we can really find the right person and delegate the task with full understanding of what needs to happen.
So, yeah, I like the idea of doing that kind of audit for our own processes, I should say. And then, yeah, getting that sorted and then, you know, heading over to outsourcingangel.com and, you know, going through that process, which, you know, after speaking with Ash, you know, I reckon we could smash it out tonight, but we probably just need to do a little bit of an audit, make sure that we've got the right training ready to go and then, yeah, get into it. But I'm excited. I'm excited to explore the world of outsourcing properly and see what it does to the Razor Sharp Show.
Yeah, love it, love it. And if anyone out there is thinking of outsourcing, you know, head over to Outsourcing Angel. We've been chatting to Charlie. His interview is now live, so you can have a listen to him and why he started the business. But for us, it's been really exciting because we've been able to really, you know, as I said before, open source our outsourcing.
Yeah,
that's a tongue twister. But I kind of love that because, you know, this is what podcasting and the Razor Sharp Show has enabled us to do, is connect with the right people, and an idea that's been brewing for many, many months, nearly a year, you know, with the right interview, it's like, hang on, maybe we can, you know, do something. And then now we're down this rabbit hole where we're kind of, you know, getting firsthand testimonials, I guess, and experience, and we're getting to learn from that. And the fact that we get to share that with the Razor community and help them, I think it's a great story. So looking forward to seeing this all unfold, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks, our episodes will be edited magically thanks to Outsourcing Angel.
Yeah, watch this space, and the Razor community will talk to you soon.